Hey, welcome to the Sparkling Client Podcast. I'm Eric Mork, I'm the host, and what we do is we give you short, informative shows all about Silverlight. All right, welcome to the Sparkling Client, the show where we talk all about Silverlight. As always, I am joined by Kelly White and Brian Henderson. Hey guys.
Howdy.
And we also have a very special guest, Mr. Walt Richer, who is sort of a fixture in the Silverlight WPF community. He's of WPF Wonderland fame. He built the Shazam tool and everything else. Walt, welcome.
Thank you for having me on the show.
And we also have a very, very special guest sitting in our live studio audience. We have one person in our studio audience, and that is Jason Maurer, who is a fixture in the developer community as well. Jason, hello.
Woohoo!
All right.
Yeah.
I've been meaning actually to have both Walt and Jason on the show for some time now, so this sure is a treat. Now, Walt, you have one of the few Windows Phone 7 developer devices out there. So the developer devices, you know, the Windows Phone devices that run Silverlight, Walt has one of the few ones out there. Well, first of all, let's start. How did you get it, Walt?
I had to spend a lot of time on email with my any contact I knew at Microsoft that I thought might remotely have a connection with the phone. And actually, my local developer evangelist, Mithun Dar, was able to hook me up with another evangelist on his team. And I don't have the phone anymore. I am sorry to say I had to give it back after 4 days.
Oh, wow. You only had 4 days with it. I didn't realize that. Yeah. They were keeping a tight, what do you call that? A rope? Tight. What's our English
term? Rain.
Rain. Thank you. Tight rain on those. Yeah. So I was going to say, so you got the model. Now, I think you told us it was the LG model. Is that the standard sort of developer one they're handing around?
Well, there's a couple of hardware devices. There's the LG, which I had. And the interesting thing about that phone was it also had a keyboard on it, a hardware keyboard. You could slide out and use to type, as opposed to just having the SIP or the soft input panel. And there's also the Samsung device available, which I got a chance to use side by side with the LG the same week I was using the phone. We kind of had a late night comparison session. We were looking at the two devices side by side. And I felt like the hardware, as far as the Samsung went, was much more responsive than the LG that I had.
So I'm wondering, and I'm going to let other people jump in and ask questions. I know we have a ton of them, but just sort of to kick us off here, what's your overall impression of the Windows Phone 7 experience? So you've had the hardware, you've had the device, you've got to use it a little bit, and you know smartphones, I presume. So what's your sense into how it fits into that ecosystem?
I've used Windows Mobile prior to this, I'm sorry to say.
Right.
Currently have a 6.5 device. And as far as the UI goes, the Microsoft OS phone experience is pretty nice. There's some holes in the OS. I'm expecting some of those to be filled by the time they ship later this year. I find myself torn. Sometimes I felt like this is awesome. This is so fast. Email support looked like it was going to be really awesome. It's very responsive as far as flipping back and forth. I'm not used to the one button back metaphor like a lot of other people are from the iPhone world. So that took a little bit of getting used to for me. And I also felt there was things missing. Like there's a lot of apps I use and I'm thinking, well, I wonder if they're going to be in the store. You know, because can I work with this app on a this phone on a day-to-day basis without the apps that I use, like, you know, my Twitter client and things like that.
There's no Twitter client for the Windows Phone 7. Is that what you just said, Walt?
That's what I just said.
Wow.
If there's going to be a Twitter client, it's going to come from a third party, and I haven't seen any evidence. I've heard rumors of some people working on it, but I haven't seen any evidence of it. Have you, Jason, have you seen anything?
I'm sure it'll happen at some point. It tends to be the 21st century Hello World app, so I'm sure somebody will build one or two or 10. You know, I'd be surprised if we didn't see, you know, a version of TweetDeck or some of the other popular ones, or like MetroTwit, you know, some that are already WPF showing up on the device. But it's probably not a huge priority for them right now, I'd imagine. It's not a real complex app to begin with, so.
Right.
So, Walt, there's no preview apps in the App Store or the Marketplace at this time then, or are you able to access the Marketplace at this time?
When I went to the Marketplace, of course, I don't know if you understand this. In order to do development on the device itself, you have to have a copy of the latest beta of the Zune software.
Okay.
And which is... And most of us have read the docs, and you know you have to go to the developer portal and install all the SDK tools. But there's one other thing they don't tell you is that when you actually go to debug your app on the hardware, you have to have an instance of Zune running in the background, and you have to use the beta. And so I was able to look at the marketplace there, and there was only, I think, maybe 6 or 8 apps at the moment on the store.
Oh, interesting. But so in general, people are punching, you know, the publish button on their apps in the marketplace, and they are, I guess, appearing if 6 of them are there.
Well, I don't think that's true. I think Microsoft has seeded them with a couple of apps. They're not going to open the marketplace up for another, if I remember, since mid-September is when they're going to start allowing apps to be published.
So they may be there, but it's not public at this time then, is what you're saying.
It might be there internally at Microsoft. I don't even know if they're allowing anybody to push content there. I don't have a commercial app ready yet, so I haven't been through that part.
Yeah, something to consider is in order for them to approve apps to go to the App Store, they have to be really at kind of a final stage with the phone software to begin with so that they can certify applications. So I wouldn't expect to see third-party apps until, you know, very close to when we get to, you know, the phones are actually shipping. Or, you know, I don't know, a few weeks prior or whatever, when they feel like the phone software is solid enough that they can do that. But I was just going to throw in there. I mean, that's one reason why, or one of the big reasons why I myself personally, I'm not sweating that I don't have a developer device in hand right now. Because for one, I know, you know, in say 2 months' time, I'm going to be able to go and buy one, you know, a final device. And also just there, you know, the stuff that you can do dev-wise, you can do now without a device. And, you know, time frame-wise, I don't think it's really a huge, you know, it's not like a showstopper type of thing if you don't have a device right now. I mean, you can sit down and write apps and get them fairly close before you actually do some of the real testing in hand with the device.
So I'll tell you the one sort of exception to that, and my biggest concern with this whole situation is the performance, right? Because the emulator, you know, is going to run differently than the device, which has a GPU and it has, you know, the actual, like, it has the render thread. Like, it's a different sort of thing than desktop Silverlight, and I'm not real convinced that the emulator is going to emulate the performance that we're going to see on the devices. I don't know that's false. I just don't know it's true. And so I guess the question, Walt, is do you have a sense of running applications in the emulator versus on the device? Is there a big sort of performance differential there or maybe not?
Well, it is different. And I would say I felt that the apps I was running for the most part felt faster, was smoother for like the interaction. You know, just things like multi-input touch on a emulator is hard to do unless you have 2 mice input or a multi-touch monitor.
Right.
And so having the ability to touch the screen. Yeah, there's some other issues with the emulator, too. Is it? My understanding is the emulator is not throttled on your dev box.
Right.
Meaning that it runs with the whatever your current developer hardware is. And so you don't have the GPU on the device, but you got a faster CPU experience than you would. So there's these trade-offs, right? You might get faster performance in one area in the emulator and slower performance in other areas in the emulator. And you can't tell, you know, like you said, Eric, how realistic is my app going to be on the device itself?
Yeah, and exactly. And I think you highlight something there, which is the, you know, the emulator isn't throttled, which is something I've really thought is necessary, that we throttle that emulator to something like what you're going to see on the device.
Do you know why they're not doing that? Have you heard?
I don't know specifically, but I imagine it's just, you know, it's a feature to them, right? So it's one extra thing in a whole bucket of things that needs to get done, and it just may not get there. That's entirely speculation, but I imagine it's that.
Yeah, and for me, it's I've always kind of made the point that I think it's kind of good they don't throttle it, because when they come out with, you know, Windows Phone 7.5 or whatever, and it has a faster processor, it's good to have things that run at different speeds so that you can actually catch that, hey, you know, because we need to throttle things in our apps. We need to be able to make sure that they're, you know, we're not depending upon that throttle for setting the performance of our application. But yeah, for performance, because I totally agree with you, Eric, on you know, you need to test on the device, absolutely. But I think the issue we have right now, and this is why I think they decided not to hand out phones at Mix, is because they weren't, and they still kind of aren't ready to hand out final phone hardware. You know, for people who have absolute needs that they've got to test on those devices, yes. But for us, kind of, you know, the common folk who are looking to develop on the phones, it's probably better, especially considering the time frame right now, for us to just kind of hold out until they have final devices out that we can test on.
Dude, you reminded me that I didn't get a phone at Mix. That's so cool.
I don't like being reminded of that myself. Sorry, man.
Every show, Kelly. Every show, man. This guy wants a phone like you wouldn't believe. He wants to make Microsoft money, essentially, and they won't give him a phone.
I think he's going to have to go buy one.
Yeah, and maybe make Microsoft more money that way.
Yep.
Beyond the performance part of it all, I think having access to hardware as far as sensors for like the camera or GPU or the compass is important for some types of apps. So, you know, getting it at that some level is very important for some developers out there.
Absolutely.
I completely agree with that statement.
Hey, Walt, so it seems to me like one thing you're alluding to is that maybe the hardware that you had in your hand for those 4 days is not going to be, you know, the hardware that's out there for people. So first of all, I mean, my mom's not going to be able to buy that phone, right?
The LG?
Right, exactly. So it's not going to be on the, like, public market.
I don't know what model the phone was that I had, and I don't know if it's just a interim device. My gut feeling from talking to the people that were giving me the phone is that it's still an interim device and not quite ready for prime time. I didn't feel that way at all with the Samsung, though. It felt really, really performant.
Oh, great. Now, you were, I think, probably looking at the Silverlight side of the world, right? Is that fair enough?
That's fair. I wouldn't call myself an XNA developer.
Yeah. Did you get a chance by chance to see any XNA apps run on the device?
I saw one running on another device that was it wasn't on my machine or on my phone. It was a game that was being developed by one of the Microsoft employees.
And performance-wise, did it look like it was up to snuff?
It was a bit dicey. It was under development, though. He said he'd only been working on it for a couple of weeks. So
fair enough.
Actually, a question for you, Walt, is when you had it for the 4 days, what kind of things were you able to test on the Windows Phone device? What kind of applications or, you know, APIs that without the hardware you weren't able to test, and getting the hardware you able to test?
Well, mainly I was just trying to get some demos up to show for the talk. I mean, that was my main criteria for the phone. So I did some things like the Bing map control, and I had some stuff on tombstoning and all that. But, you know, I didn't actually do anything with I did the orientation thing, but that's a minor thing, you know, so easy to do with the API for the phone. Mm-hmm. It tells you what the orientation is. You just ask it. But I didn't do anything with like the accelerometer to figure out the X, Y, and Z coordinate systems and use that in any of my applications. Mm-hmm. I would have if it had more time, but I didn't. I had to give it back, you know, right after I made a joke that they showed up with the guys in the briefcases with the handcuffs and open it up and here's your phone.
So you really need more than 4 days to get access to the sensors and play a little bit more.
I would have if I'd had more time, right? I'm also in the middle of writing my next lynda.com course, so I'm pretty much every day full-time writing on that.
Oh, great.
And I have a hard deadline on that for the first of next month, so.
So what kind of, obviously you demoed this at a conference. What kind of feedback you get from the conference, from developers there, and what did they have to say to you about seeing the device?
Right, so I was at the VS Live conference, and it was at Redmond this year. And so one of the things that I tried to make happen. Well, it was really easy to do because people would walk to me and go, "Hey, you're the guy doing the phone talk. Can I look at the device?" But I was trying to get people a chance to get hands on because that's what I wanted. I know Kelly wants it. Right. So I was like, well, let's see if I can get an opportunity to show this to other developers. So I probably had 60 people over the course of 3 days look at the phone.
That's awesome.
And it was really interesting. One guy would come up and say, "Can I see the phone?" And as soon as he touched it, he'd immediately start scrolling through it. And then he'd be like, "Hey," whatever his buddy was, "Hey, come over here. I got one of the phones. Look at this." And then they'd be heads down for like 10 minutes on it. And let me try this. This is cool. You know, "I don't like this. This is cool." And then, you know, a crowd would gather and a few more people. "Is that one of the phones? Is that a Windows 7 phone?"
So I want to ask you a question, and it's probably kind of a leading question. When I was developing for, say, like Palm, you know, back in the day, or when I've done iPhone development, seeing my code run on the device has just been really cool. Did you have that same sense with Windows Phone 7? Like, was it that sort of motivator to get out there and write code and put it in the App Store, just seeing it run on that?
It was totally like that for me. And it's like, this, I can do this. You know, that was the thing that I felt, is I can do this. I know how to write these kind of apps. I've got lots of experience. I came home after having the device and wrote out a plan for the different apps that I want to write for it. And I think the same thing from other programmers. I mean, I got a lot of comments after my talks at the conference. It's like, that's so easy. I didn't realize it was going to be so easy to write these applications. There's a lot of buzz around that as well.
Yeah, it's not quite like buying a Macintosh, downloading Xcode, getting it to be a part of it. Yeah. Kelly's laughing because we just went through that process. And it was kind of brutal to go through the whole thing. Well, Walt, thank you so much for joining us. This has been great. I know we have tons and tons of questions, so maybe we'll have to plan on another session, but we really appreciate it. Now, we're going to do some news. If Jason and Walt, you guys don't mind staying on, that would be great. Maybe you'll have some stuff to add as we run through our news from this past week.
You bet.
Sure.
Sounds great. Okay. Let's see here. Let's talk about Lidnug. Who had that up there? Brian, was that you?
I think that was Kelly.
So with Lidnug is the LinkedIn.net user group, right? It's kind of a virtual group. There's going to be an event here in September on the 15th. Dan Wallin is going to be talking about building Silverlight applications using MVVM. And that happens around lunchtime, right? It's going to be around 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. There's a link where you can go and say, "I'm going to attend that." But it's a good group to be a part of, definitely.
To pair that up nicely with something, it looks like Brian here is talking about Windows Phone Design Days.
I think this is something that happened on campus. Jamie Rodriguez posted a nice set of tutorials. There's like 7 or 8 half-hour sessions just focusing on Windows Phone design, integration, all kinds of cool things and great information on that.
Now, was that like, you know, how to put colors together and how to do spacing, or was it specific, you know, here's how to design for the phone stuff?
A good example of that is the core animation and animation principles, like for motion on Windows Phone by Jeff Arnold. Just a great end-to-end presentation. It's like, here's all the animations you have available on Windows Phone. Here's what screens you use. When would you use a forward navigation? When would you use a back navigation? When you use a panoramic versus a pivot? Even like a sample application. Very cool.
Okay, great. Yeah, now let's call that the application of the week and finish out the news here.
So there's this USA Golf application that is part of the demo, but it's also being put up as just an independent video. And it just does a walkthrough, nice startup screen, how to transition from the startup screen into the application. Just navigating through different parts of the application from, you know, just settings, just showing. It's a golf application, so the premise is, like, you know, you go up with your buddies, go golfing, so you can pick your buddies from the list. You can see previous groups, like, from different courses or different groups you played with, select from those. And I think it's the best example of just using end-to-end what a Windows Phone application should look like. Very well polished. The Windows 7 secret sauce was just a nice, interesting post by Arx Technica. Just talking about, as a developer, you know, why you would want to look at the Windows Phone some pluses, some negatives, just talking about the ecosystem and just where it's being, where it's going. So just a nice, good current post on that.
And then you also spotted some tutorials, maybe.
Yeah, in addition to the stuff Jamie posted up there, Nigel Sampson posted four sample applications he's written. A candle application, a task application, checking your IP address. Just some basic code samples. So just some videos, some code samples and stuff that up there. So good information.
Great. Yeah, thanks for putting that together, Brian. Well, guys, it's been a real pleasure. I tell you what, we are going to have the links up there so you can find out more information, you know, from our show notes, as well as if you want to know more about Walt, probably Walt, the link to go to is WPF Wonderland.
Yeah, blog.wpfwonderland is the best place to go. It's where I write.
Perfect. And then Jason also has a good blog at jasonmauer.com.
I wouldn't say it's good, but it's a blog. But I will be posting some more stuff soon. I'm working on a game in XNA for Windows Phone. I'm going to be showing it for the first time at the next Silverlight user group meeting here in Portland. And so I'll have some blog posts on that here soon.
Spectacular. Well, thank you, everyone.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for listening. If you're interested in Silverlight 3 or Silverlight 4, check out our website, silverbaylabs.org. That's where we have information about Silverlight consulting and development. If you're interested in training, check out the Silverlight Tour, where I'm an instructor.